And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Oh, man. Covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about we go way on down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi. Thrown in just for good measure. I got sidetracked, Boomer. I got sidetracked because one of my college roommates is texting in and claims he has a story about me, about the song Bad to the Bone.
Ooh, and nice.
He won't remind me what it is. So
he probably should just call in.
Take no calls from anybody who claims to have a story about me. That cannot be allowed to happen. We have to vet this carefully, Boomer. And by the way, you cannot take bribes on the side for this.
I was about to say, I mean,
if he offers you a maple bacon donut to be allowed on the air, you will stop him. Do you understand?
Maple bacon donuts go a long ways.
I don't know what the story is, though. So now I'm like...
Now you're really interested. You're interested and maybe a little worried.
That's exactly right. I'll call Charlene, baby, what did I do? Bad to the bone. What did I do in college? Do you remember? I have no idea. All right, we're gonna switch gears now. Switching gears here on the Triple Dipper. Number two on the Triple Dipper, the Tennessee Rough Cut. So I call it that because what I'm going to give you is just the bare bones, what we know, all right? Unedited versions. Nothing's even hit the cutting room floor, so to speak. So the rough cut right now, the editor's cut, if you will, of what happened in Tennessee with the three legislators. And by the way, they're portraying themselves as victims. And they've already got the race card out. And it's all about democracy. So just to remind you what happened, and basically, apparently, insurrection now has a different definition. We were told for the last 2 years, oh my Lord, isn't it just the greatest example of insurrection when people go into the state house, the people's house, and they get in the way of the people's elected representatives being able to do their business? Yeah. That's what we were told, right? There's people still in jail right now for the January 6th incidents in D.C., right? There's people who were convicted. There are people who were, you know, forced to take a plea in order to be able to get some semblance of life back. You got an entire January 6th commission that was formed and ran roughshod over the Constitution for the last, year and a half. Why? Because they had to prove to us it was an insurrection. And now we're looking at what happened just recently, a week ago, in the state of Tennessee at a state capitol. First of all, my question is, under the 10th Amendment, if states have sovereign rights to enact laws, doesn't that indicate that they are indeed lawmaking bodies? Yes. And if states are allowed to have a state-level constitution, and state statutes, and a state legislature, doesn't it stand to reason that you can have localized versions of insurrection? Yes, it does. And if that's the case, then when a host of people invade a state house for the sole purpose of breaking up the proceedings, since we have a definition given to us by the powers that be now in D.C. that says insurrection, doesn't it apply here? And apparently the answer is no. So some would say they were just joining the crowd. No, they weren't. They actually were not. The three? Yeah, they were. They were joining the crowd. No, they weren't. So the protesters remained in the gallery, on the outside steps, in the lobbies. They did. Were they loud and obnoxious? Yes. Did they cause all kinds of ruckus in the, you know, they did things like blockading legislators who had gone to the restroom. They couldn't get out. They had to call state troopers on their cell phones to come and get them out. They had people being arrested. They had, you know, just in that destruction of property, I don't know, but I would imagine there was probably some. All of that happened, yes. But what happened with these three legislators who are now endearingly murdered and forever memorialized in the lives and the minds and the hearts of liberal progressives? What we now have is a group referred to as the Tennessee Three. What did the Tennessee Three do? Did they go out in the lobby and just join people in solidarity? No. Did they get on their Facebook pages and say, we support you and come on down and do more? No. They literally took the podium. They broke all the rules of the Tennessee House. One of them, Justin Jones, complete knucklehead, took a megaphone and shouted over all the proceedings, and they stood up there and they put a complete stop to all the proceedings. Nobody could conduct the people's business at all. Not a bit. But pray tell, Phil, is it that bad? Yeah, it's that bad. And by the way, there's rules of the House, which each of them is, by the way, sworn to uphold and defend the Constitution of the state of Tennessee and the United States. And if the rules are constitutionally put in place, in other words, they were done by the proper procedures and by the adopted rules of the House, I would assume then that those three cast their vote with regards to the process of adopting those rules. It's what you do. And then on top of that, they're bound to it by a code of ethics. Interesting. And they didn't go out there. They didn't get punished or taken down because they went out in the lobby and joined the protesters. Nope. They got it because they orchestrated the protesters from the House floor, completely shut down the proceedings. And the Speaker of the House knew that if he didn't put an example on this situation, that there's no telling what they do next, them or the next person. So in a move that has only happened, I want to say it's four times in the last 150 years, the Tennessee State Legislature held long and open and transparent debate. It even allowed the accused to have their own say at the podium. And then they cast their votes, and two out of the three of them were expelled. They are no longer members of the House of Representatives in Tennessee. It's what's called an extraordinary remedy. An extraordinary remedy for extraordinary circumstances in extraordinary times. And it had to happen. So now they're the heroes of the left. By the way, there's also the issue that the two that were expelled are black and the one who was not is white. So what have they done now? They have certainly cast down the race card. Well, that's what it was. Well, I got an article. We'll talk about that in a minute. Was it really racism? Is that what it was? Well, how about this? How about Justin Jones, the knucklehead who was holding the megaphone on the floor of the House? Video proves it. Everybody was there, saw it. He literally told a black Republican, actually, I think he's Indian now that I say that, but he told this gentleman, you're just the brown face of white supremacy. So where's the racism now? How dare he? I mean, so you've got this gentleman who's a professional. He's a doctor who happens to be, yes, that's right, I saw him interviewed. He's from India, I believe, originally. He's a first-generation American citizen now in the Tennessee State House of Representatives. Just a good, kind of a down-to-earth, very quiet, humble man. And you've got literally that guy being told by the activist who's claiming racism now that somehow or another he's the brown face of white racism. I'm watching right now. Boomer just pointed out to me the right screen up on the wall has the pictures of the protests with them with their megaphones. It's unreal. But here's what we're going to do. I'm going to go ahead and take a break about a minute and a half, 2 minutes early. Come back, give us plenty of time to unpack this. You got any thoughts on it? You're welcome to it. If you live in Tennessee, love to hear from you. But yeah, the Tennessee Three. We're talking about the Tennessee Rough Cut, all the details that we can gather up. It's interesting. It also had to happen, in my opinion. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Got a few texts on the text line over here. Let's see what we got around here. Lynn from Knoxville says, I've followed this. She's Knoxville, Tennessee. Lynn from Knoxville, I've followed this. I've since found out Jones is useless. He's nothing but an activist. He continually disrupts meeting and he's rude. Having seen some of his interviews, Lynn, I don't doubt you. So thank you, Lynn. Appreciate that. Glenn from Bluntsville, he says, the morals and ethics are in short supply. There's that. Jeff from Green Hill says, sounds like the rep from Tennessee is suffering from a butt-whipping deficit disorder. Oh, my gosh. I got some great listeners. JT from Lacey Springs. By the way, Boomer, JT from Lacey Springs with regards to the golf thing a while ago. Right. He says naps are what golf is for.
See, there we go.
The three legislators, he also says, by the way, did their I don't, his words didn't come out right. Something yada yada. And then he says jackassery. Play it. Play it. Play it. Wow. All right, so what you may be interested to also know, too, is Vice President Harris has made sure that she has gotten herself to Nashville. Well, now, hang on a second. Boomer, remind me, bro. Did Vice President Harris come down and console the families of the shooting victims at Covenant School in Nashville?
Nope.
Really?
Didn't do that.
Huh. Too busy supporting the transgender shooter, I guess.
I believe so.
Yeah. Well, you know, she did come down to meet with the Tennessee Three because this is a big deal. I mean, this is racism and everything. All the things.
All the things.
All the things.
And didn't even mention.
No, didn't even mention, by the way. You're right.
The Covenant School.
Yeah, at all that I know of.
I don't think so.
She gave a fiery speech about democracy and freedom of speech and how Republicans are tearing things down and blah, 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 blah. Didn't once mention the families of the deceased at the school.
And or, I mean, even meet with the law enforcement that I know of that did such an amazing job.
Oh, wow. Good point. That's a great point.
I mean,
come down there, shake their hands.
And say thank you.
Golly. Mm. All right. New York Post reporting conservatives ripped Vice President Kamala Harris's surprise trip to Tennessee to meet with Democratic lawmakers who were ousted for disrupting the deliberations at the State House, but yet snubbing the victims of the mass shooting that sparked the demonstration. Keep in mind, some of y'all might be saying, well, they're unrelated topics. I mean, maybe it was too stale to go back. Too stale? Did I say that? I'm saying she would say that. But here's the deal. What they were protesting was in the wake of the shooting. They were protesting gun control because of the shooting.
Exactly.
So what did she come down there for? To join the protests about the shooting. Or gun control, and not to support those who suffered great losses or did heroic things. Unbelievable.
What the whole thing was about was the protest about that shooting.
Here's the deal.
Exactly.
Harris privately met with ousted Democrat reps Justin Jones and Representative Justin Peterson, as well as Representative Gloria Johnson, who avoided expulsion by one vote. Kamala Harris isn't going to Tennessee to meet with families of those who died in the horrific shooting, said political commentator Dan Eberhardt. She's going there to meet with Democrats who are upset over facing consequences for their own actions. And then Rob Schneider, the actor, comedian and actor, I've discovered here in the last few years, he's pretty conservative. He says he took issue with Harris's visit, saying the trip just reveals herself. He says she visits when three Dem legislators are kicked out or censured by Tennessee legislature. She doesn't visit when 3 9-year-olds children are murdered. It boggles. Vice President of the freaking United States. But listen, she went on and gave a speech, right? She claimed that everything about this situation with the expulsion of the two and the censure of the one was about stifling free speech. And this is her words. Is that not what a democracy allows? A democracy says you don't silence people. You don't stifle the people. Let me remind the world right now. I've not heard anybody else say this, so I'll claim it to be the first one to say it. She is talking about them being disciplined for violations of the rules of the body. And, oh, by the way, she should know better because she presides as vice president over the U.S. Senate. Ah. Huh. So the Vice President of the United States is so misguided in her understanding of what is actually happening here, it makes you wonder, how in God's name does she preside over the U.S. Senate? How does that even happen? Because that's her role. She's the 51st vote in the event of a tie in the Senate. She's the one who sits up there with the gavel. She presides over one of the legislative bodies, and she doesn't seem to understand. Now, I think she chooses not to understand, to be honest, which is, I don't know, what's worse? What would be worse, her boomer? Her being ignorant of the situation or her refusing to acknowledge the situation? Which one's worse?
Ooh,
Are you speechless?
I am.
I caught you with your mouth hanging open there in a second.
You did, because it made me think about it.
I don't know. I don't know. Which one's worse? Having someone who is so ignorant of the situation and yet they're semi in charge, or B, someone who is in charge and willfully disregarding the things that are necessary? I guess willfully is worse. Let's say willfully.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, because that is their choice.
Yeah.
Whereas sometimes when Biden, I guess, does things, he just doesn't even know he's doing them.
Is it time for pudding yet? Okay.
Yeah.
Tennessee Republicans show exactly how to respond to left-wing hostage-taking, says The Federalist. This is a great article. The Federalist, dated Friday. Two Democrat lawmakers joined a mob of left-wing insurrectionists who took over the Tennessee Capitol last week. They were rightfully expelled from the state's General Assembly. Rightfully, says The Federalist. And I agree. And by the way, don't think that I'm taking it lightly. That's a big freaking deal. As a former elected official myself, I can imagine. You did everything it took to run for office and get elected, and then you get kicked out? That can happen? Well, apparently it can. But then again, own it. Your actions are what created it. It's following the rules of your house, rules which you allegedly voted for to start the quadrennium. You had to adopt the rules. That's the way it works. National Representative Justin Jones and Memphis Representative Justin Pearson violated the Tennessee General Assembly's decorum requirements when they held up protest signs and shouted into a bullhorn, encouraging left-wing rioters who were illegally disrupting legislative proceedings last week. Eventually, the noise coming from Jones, Pearson, and the other insurrectionists grew so raucous that members of the General Assembly were forced to exit the chamber and suspend legislative business. Okay, here you go. Now, the rhetoric coming out of this, though, so this knucklehead Jones, who was expelled, he says, "I feel like North Korea has more democracy than we do in the state of Tennessee." Well, first of all, they don't have democracy in North Korea. So there's that. "And it's terrifying to me that we're in this march to fascism." Fascism. "Never mind the fact that it was an open and transparent debate based upon rules that you voted to adopt, and you're the one at fault, and guess what? You were expelled after a vote." Johnson, the white lady, later credited her continued standing in the assembly by saying she's a 60-year-old white woman, and that's why she survived the vote. Okay, so what's up with that, by the way? What is up with that? Well, President Joe Biden, by the way, I want to point this. I'll come back to the issue of why the white lady survived the vote, because that's their. And I saw that and I thought, oh man, Republicans opened the door for that one. They just like, I mean, they did what was right regardless of color, but they did what was right, and now color is going to be the argument. There you go. President Joe Biden, though, characterized the Tennessee insurrection as peaceful. He did. It's his words. Peaceful. It was peaceful. And described Jones and Pearson's expulsion as shocking, undemocratic, and without precedent. Actually, no, sir. It's with precedent, even in Tennessee. This is the fourth time in Tennessee's history they've done this. Wow. Former President Barack Obama also issued a similar statement on Twitter. Just, you know, never mind the fact that under Biden's Department of Justice, January 6th demonstrators, many of whom were peaceful, were thrown in jail for 2 years without due process. All right, we're going to cover this a little bit more when we get back. You may be curious, how'd the white lady survive? I'll tell you. We'll talk about it when we get back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, local, state, national, covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. By the way, interesting is I'm looking up at the screens here on the wall in the studio. And on the left side screen, which is where CNN goes, on the left side screen, they're actually right now at the on the Statehouse lawn in Tennessee, in Nashville. Where a crowd has gathered to protest the expulsions of these two legislators. And a story that I'll get into in more detail in a minute, apparently the Nashville City Council, apparently under their state law, the Nashville City Council has the ability to vote to reinstate. I don't know how that works because, you know, district lines have to mean something. But anyway, we'll see. Right now, we're hearing that the Nashville City Council may actually vote to reinstate Representative Justin Jones, but he'll still be a celebrity. The left loves him. Line one, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing, buddy?
Doing well. Happy Monday to you, gentlemen.
And to you as well, sir.
Thank you. And just based on a couple of things in the past hour, towards the end of it, the definition of ignorant. Ignorant person is somebody who simply does not know or has not been taught something, and we all get taught things ever since we're born. Now, an ignorant person that is given a chance to learn the truth and chooses not to learn is a fool. And a person that is not ignorant knows the truth and then uses it against the ignorant is evil.
Ooh, man, write that down. Put it on the wall, Boomer. That's worth a sticky note. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you, Brian. Thanks,
have
man.
A good one.
You too,
yeah.
Buddy. That was that one sounded prolific.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had a caller call in a minute ago as well, and just had a question.
Yeah,
It was one of our fellow truck driver friends.
Is it Sama?
I believe so.
Oh, nice. Okay,
so,
good.
So, he asked, "What is a tyrannical government? Like, what is your definition
of a tyranny or tyrannical government?"
Yes.
Yeah, a tyrannical government is a harsh and oppressive government that, regardless of rule of law or civil rights, or for that matter, natural rights. There's oftentimes what's considered things like natural rights, things like the right to live. I mean, so you know, murder. There's not a nation in the world where murder is just allowed. Mm. A tyrannical government is one that could care less. Because the aims of the government outweigh everything, and regardless of the means, and the people are just seen to be in the way. So that's my rough description of a tyrannical government.
Yeah.
Good question. I assume that was Sama. Boomer's giving me the head shake. So lots of stuff happening right now. And I'm still going down the row on this. By the way, I will say that I've got, you know what, Boomer? It occurs to me a moment ago, too. Something Brian said.
Mm-hmm.
Kakistocracy.
Oh, kakistocracy.
That's where we are.
Yes.
I mean, kakistocracy, K-A-K-I-S-T-R, oh, Lord, I lost myself in the middle of it. S-T-O-C-R-A-C-Y, kakistocracy. Did I do that right?
Yes, right.
Okay.
Kakistocracy. We are in kakistocracy.
We are indeed. The true definition is a government run by the least competent of its citizens.
Oh.
Don't you have a sound effect for that?
Oh, I do.
Hit
right
it.
Here.
Do it.
You're traveling through another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound,
I always
but
forget
of mind.
This one.
A journey into a dreary society governed by its least suitable citizens. You are now entering the Kakistocracy Zone.
Oh, so fitting.
So fitting.
Text lines. Lynn from Knoxville again says, it's my understanding the city council can appoint someone until a special election can be held. Okay, all right, that makes sense. So they've devolved that down to the local level. Thanks, Lynn. Appreciate it. John from Huntsville says, I haven't seen the movie yet. I think I'm going to wait until you grade it for me. What are we talking about here? What movie? Do we know what movie he's talking about?
Oh, no, yeah. I'm
talking. Oh, he's talking to you. Okay, y'all are talking. I have no idea what's happening right now. Okay, Jerry from Athens says, so tired of this White House always saying gun violence instead of saying violence caused by an evil person. I agree. Said, I have many guns. They've never shot anyone. Libs do not want to hold individuals accountable for crime. Totally agree. Jason from Meridianville says, should have tossed the white lady out too. Could have seen the racist angle coming a mile away.
They should have seen it coming.
Well, they did. But so, yeah. So here's the thing. Part of me looks at it and goes, dang, fellas. Political expediency says, vote them all three out. Then you don't get stuck with a racist card.
Right.
But then again, it means that race was not the issue. They were, well, okay. Dems want you to believe that race was the issue, but they have just as much right to claim, absolutely not. We did the right thing regardless of race. So they could say that.
Mm.
So here's the deal. A story on WSMV.com, which is a local channel in Tennessee. Republicans explain why they only removed two of the Tennessee three. I mean, I've been wondering this. What happened? By the way, she only survived by one vote.
So just one person switched.
One person switched, and that would be?
Oh.
Republican Representative Jody Barrett. So Republican Representative Jody Barrett tells WSMV that, you know, everybody was exhausted. They spent more than 12 hours at the Tennessee State Capitol on Thursday hearing 6 hours of debate and then casting their votes. You know, lots of protesters. It was very emotional, he said. It was a long day. The subject matter we were dealing with. He says, I fully intended when I walked in the chamber to vote to expel all three. However, Barrett said he changed his mind on one of them during the expulsion hearing Thursday. He said, doing the right thing sometimes is hard, but I still feel like it was the right vote. So the one he voted to save was Democrat Representative Gloria Johnson of Knoxville. The other two gentlemen, he says, were going in and out of the room during the session last Thursday, going to the balcony during the session, trying to incite the crowd. They were also using loudspeakers. I mean, megaphones. Thank you very much. And then turns out Johnson did not do that. He said that apparently she stood there next to them, but she didn't ever make any noise. She just stood there in solidarity. And so he says, I saw that established during yesterday's debate. Johnson herself has a different take, of course. She goes, it might have to do with the color of our skin. Okay. She wants it so bad to be. Well, so Tennessee 3 Nashville Council members, according to the Washington Examiner, say that they intend to very likely reinstate Justin Jones. We heard that text a minute ago from Lynn from Knoxville saying that it appears that the city council may have the right to reinstate until such time as a special election could be held. We'll see. And by the way, that's fine. You know what? I think it's a knucklehead move. If you want that, you know, jackassery back in the state house, guess what? You don't like the fact that they could be expelled. Conservatives don't like the way you're allowed to reinstate him right away. But we're not rioting. I got a good from Boomer. That was.
You did.
That was like, huh. Can I get an amen?
Mm. Amen. Yeah. And the raise of hands.
So, the bottom line is this. There's a process. And if they put him back in, if they want more jackassery and they put him back in, okay, guess what? That's their legal right. And Republicans will go, oh, crap. But you know what? They won't riot. But I guarantee you, if the city council, you know what? Okay, Boomer, postulate this with me for a moment.
Ooh, okay.
Postulate.
I'm postulating.
Let's postulate. What, pray tell, would happen if the city council of Nashville votes not to reinstate him? Will they get protested?
Oh, absolutely.
You think they will?
I think they're already getting protested.
The city council.
Oh, sorry. I bet they will. Because, I mean, right now they're protesting to try to get him back in.
Right.
So if they elect not to put him in, they're just going to protest everybody.
You think?
Why not? They just want to protest because they can protest.
Maybe so. I don't know. I look at it and go, you know what? I bet they'll get. So right now it says in this article from the Washington Examiner, 23 out of 39 members. That's a big council.
Yeah.
23 out of 39 members of the council announced on social media or told NBC News that they condemn last Thursday's expulsion and they would vote to reinstate Jones as early as possible. I think Jones is the one with the ponytail, isn't he? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
But anyway, yeah, so if they go to their vote, though, I mean, 23 out of 39, I don't know what majority they have to have. Let's see what it says. Do they have to have a certain number or just a simple majority? Article does not say.
But if they do reinstate him, it's basically for a short term until they have an actual. Is that how it goes?
Well, we don't know for a fact. Lynn from Knoxville thinks it's until they can hold a special election.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell you right now, if they reinstate him, I'm going to have you play the jackassery sound effect all day long.
All day.
We'll just have 3 hours of jackassery sound effects. Play it, Boomer.
That's what it is right there.
Just like
all
that.
All over and over and
all
over.
All the jackassery you could want. But guess what? If they do, it's the democratic process. The city council has a rule. They are allowed by state law to have said rule. They are allowed to do certain things. And if they follow that rule, guess what? It may be jackassery, but it's still the rule.
Still the rule.
That's right.
I like it.
And I'm curious, though. I still can't find. I just want to know. I just want to know. If they vote and they don't reinstate him, I want to know that there's equal levels of angst towards that city council. I want to know if the same protesters who were still on the grounds of the state house will rush to the city council offices.
Maybe they'll divide and conquer.
You think? I bet they won't. You said you think they will, but I'll go ahead.
I hope they would not.
I'll bet you a maple bacon donut. Dang. Yep.
Maple now bacon what? Donuts are on the line.
I tell you what else is on the line. A break. Take us to a break right now, brother. We'll take the break. We'll come right back. Whole lot of jackassery going on north of the Alabama border. We've had our own. But nonetheless, it's theirs right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. You got some good bump music, man. That's just good. Before we go any further, I got to tell you, the Elm Foundation, one of our advertisers, the Elm Foundation, ELM. Elm stands for Expect Little Miracles. The Elm Foundation is just doing some cool stuff, y'all. And you got to check them out. The Elm Foundation, you can find them at their website, ELMHSV, because they're from Huntsville, like Elm Huntsville. ELMHSV.org. It's a .org. ELMHSV.org. The Elm Foundation is doing things to get involved with people's lives and raise them up to a better level. You got folks that are on the street. They're disenfranchised. They have no idea what to do to better their lot in life. And they need not a handout, but a hand up. They need somebody who will not only say, here's a better way, but I'll walk through it with you. And that's what the Elm Foundation does. They are working right now to get people back into a position where they are productive members of society with a job skills certification, with accountability, like, hey, we're going to walk through it. And by the way, you're going to meet certain milestones. We'll stay with you, but you got to meet them. I mean, they're doing this, and it's making a difference in people's lives. And the Elm Foundation, by the way, they're a 501c3. It's very cool. If you were to send money their way to support their programs, that's all you're supporting is their programs, because all of their administrative costs are covered by a benefactor who chooses to pay all of that so that every dollar donated thereafter just goes straight into their programming. So check them out, Elm Foundation, ELMHSV.org. And I think you'll like what you see. And if you talk to them, by the way, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Boomer, do you have the podcast stuff up right now? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I got the podcast stuff.
Oh, okay.
Up.
Hang on a second now. We got to pause everything. I got to know. I got to know where we are. If you want to, by the way, the show, every day we air for 3 hours across the northern half of the state, but we also take the show then. Boomer does. I say we. Boomer does it and podcasts the show out And where are we now?
134,300.
Sweet.
Yeah.
We're gonna be well over 135 by the end of the week.
Yep. Yeah, we will.
So 134,300 downloads of the Right Side Radio podcast.
Cooking.
Digging it. What are our states? Who's our states?
Oh man, our states are. Let's go here to our states. Man, we got everywhere.
Of course, Alabama's the big one, right?
Alabama's the biggest. We got
What?
Florida.
Florida came in where?
I'm just saying. Come on, California. Florida's up there right now.
Is California?
No, I'm not doing all time. I just do, you know, kind of like a month or two of span. But Florida right now is ahead.
Oh, are you kidding me?
They're number two.
For like last 9 or 10 months, California's been our second biggest audience.
Come on, California.
What's up?
Come on.
Where you at?
So Florida is coming in number two.
Okay. I'm digging it. That's cool. Do I see Tennessee has also got a chunk as well?
We got Tennessee, Georgia. So the tops are Alabama, Florida, Georgia, Tennessee, California.
Isn't that funny, though?
I know.
I mean, we bracket chunks of the Southeast, and then all of a sudden California.
And then California.
We love you, California,
yes,
by the way.
We do.
All y'all, all you conservatives out there hunkered down, you know, in the Alamo out there in California, just know that we love you. We're coming. Hang in there. But, yeah. That's just very cool. Thank you. And oh, by the way, I got to say this too. I tell you what, while we're just talking about ourselves, so Boomer and McQueen.
Oh yes,
Boomer and McQueen now have the next portion of the Right Side Multiverse. That's the Boomer McQueen podcast, known as The Right Life.
Mm-hmm. And we have a blast doing it. We talk about everyday life. We just dig a little deeper into everyday lives, and you know, people go through all kinds of stuff and the messy mundane, and everybody goes through it, but people just sometimes show their highlight reels. But well, we're kind of getting into the nitty-gritty.
So it's sometimes the messy, sometimes the mundane, and sometimes the absolute hilarious.
Yeah, exactly.
Because life can be pretty funny sometimes too.
Exactly.
Life can be funny when it didn't feel funny when it happened, but it's funny later.
Correct.
That happens too.
And it's okay to laugh at it.
All right. So yeah, so you guys are already getting a bunch of followership on that.
Yeah, it's a blast.
And how many episodes you got out now?
We're 12? At 23.
I know. What did I say?
Just 12. Throw it out there.
That's right, because you do two a week.
Two a week. We're starting to go down to one a week now, but maybe we'll still do two. Listen,
I've seen your Instagram. You are not running out of material.
No, we are not running out of material.
I'm saying, you guys are hilarious. Did you just post a bunch of stuff too, pictures of when you proposed?
Oh, yes. It was a different proposal.
You've been married for 8 years?
Yeah, nine. Going on nine, yeah.
Okay.
So we the last show was just basically the proposal, because it was an interesting proposal. It was a fun one. So that's what it was about.
And the podcast is about that?
Mm-hmm. That's what that last one was about.
Are you one of those who puts the rest of us to shame? Which, by the way, anybody could put mine to shame. I gave Charlene the most inartful, just completely awful proposals.
You know,
I just wanted to get married. I just wanted to be married to
her. The way I look at it is any proposal and every proposal is perfect. That's the way I look at it.
Well, she did say yes.
She did say yes. So there we go.
All right. Listen, I'm not sure we're getting the dipper number three, because I got some more in this Tennessee rough cut. You guys stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one, Alabama. And I mean that with all sincerity. And so, yeah, we covered like from way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back on over to Gadsden, even parts of Georgia, oh, and Tennessee, oh, and even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. All right. Well, hey, listen, I got to tell you guys, ZLA Solutions, man. So I know these folks personally. I was talking to them again just in the last couple of days. ZLA Solutions, they do all kinds of stuff for businesses, right? They can do things like sorting and containment, logistics, warehousing, all that. But like I always say, their bread and butter remains staffing. So if you need people, I mean, like, seriously, you need people. Well, they've got them, and they can find them, and they can recruit more. So if you need folks for your business, whether it's the onesies and twosies, or if they need an entire shift of people brought in, they can do that. All the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if necessary. I always say blue collar, white collar, no collar, it don't matter. But yeah, seriously, they're really good at this. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's their website. Yeah, they're fielding staffing issues for people all over our state. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. Do me a favor, by the way. Tell them you heard it right here on Right Side Radio. Okay. Man, Boomer, text line's blowing up.
Yes, they
are. Stuff's happening. Let me dive in a little more to this mob rule. No, I'm sorry. We're in the Tennessee rough cut. We ain't getting to China today. No. I'll save China. But so yeah, Biden has now invited the Tennessee Three to the White House.
I missed that this morning. How did I miss this?
I wish you were on camera. I wish you were on camera when that happened.
I know. I totally missed that this morning.
Hang on. Put the camera on you and do that again. Let's pretend that never happened. You ready? We're going because this is still a live streaming show. Boomer, Biden has invited the Tennessee Three to the White House.
What?
Yeah, that's pretty much how it went. Wow. A moment ago. Yeah, I kid you not. So the administration said in a statement, according to Fox News, dated what day was this? Yesterday or Saturday? President Biden has invited the Tennessee Three to the White House. The administration said in a statement that he had praised the three state lawmakers for seeking to ban assault weapons and standing up for Democrat values. A social media post also showed the president having a video chat with Democrats Justin Pearson, and Justin Jones and Gloria Johnson. So, yeah, so over the Easter weekend, while I was FaceTiming my grandbaby, he was FaceTiming with three radical Democrat activists who got expelled from their state legislative body, two of whom did. Just wow. Just, yeah. And he said proudly, "I spoke to Representative Jones, Pearson, and Johnson to thank them for their leadership and courage." Yes, it took courage in the face of a blatant disregard of our nation's democratic values. Our country needs to take action on gun violence, and to do that, we need more voices like theirs speaking out. Yeah, that's why he sent Kamala Harris down to Nashville to not visit with those who were killed or those who rescued those who were still living in the school. She wanted to be there to meet with the activists who were all about the gun control issue. You may be curious to know, though, former Alabama U.S. Senator Doug Jones. Oh, some of y'all just went, ah, boy. Ah, geez. Yeah, here we go. MSNBC. Ah, Lord. Phil, did you go to MSNBC? Yes, I did. Former Senator Doug Jones on the Tennessee Three and how the GOP supermajorities just stifled dissent. I mean, he's got to have something to say to stay relevant, right? The expulsion of two young black Tennessee lawmakers this week is an example of how Trumpism has become a... What are they even talking about? What's this got to do with Trump? These knuckleheads...
Something has to do with Trump.
Yeah, exactly. The sky is blue. Trump!
Trump!
Insurrection! How Trumpism has become a blueprint for lawmakers to stifle dissent, silence critics. Who was it, by the way, that led the January 6th commission? Oh, that's right. That would be the Democrats. Who was it that kept people locked up for 2 years without due process? Oh, that's right. It would be the Democrats. Who was it that uses the IRS to weaponize against citizens? Oh, that's right. It was the Democrats. Anyway, quote from Doug Jones, "I think Democrats just abandoned us down here and we're left to fend for ourselves." So basically what he's saying is, it's tough being down here in the red states. I got news, dude. It's your policies. It's what you stand for. That's why. You're welcome to move, Senator Jones, to, I don't know, California, or better yet, Minnesota. There's a good one. Have I got a caller on the line? I do. Line one, Clarence, how you doing?
Hey, man, doing good. How you doing?
I'm good, buddy. What's up?
Man, I'll tell you about the Tennessee Three. They should feel real happy to be excited to go to the White House. I think I about think they'd rather be invited to go to Russia than the White House at this point. I mean, let's just be honest. Hey, you know, I was thinking, it's a sad, sad day when the only statistic that you have as a Democrat to be considered a true Democrat is whenever they have to base it off your skin color. You ain't got nothing else besides your skin color to talk about when you're a Democrat, and that's what's sad.
Apparently they don't. You are right. It boggles the mind how at every single turn it's either insurrection or racism, one or the other.
Insurrection, racism, or sexual orientation. That's what they got. And let me tell you one thing about that. Did you see what happened with old Megan Rapinoe and them talking about the gender stuff today?
I saw a headline. I've not read the article yet. Did Megan Rapinoe, the pink-haired activist, come out in favor or not in favor of transgenders competing against women?
She comes out in favor of it. So I've got a new plan.
Really?
As Republicans, what we should do. Oh, yeah, she came out in favor of it. You know, she's already made her money. She don't care.
Oh, wow.
This is what we should do as Republicans. We should have every man from the U.S. national soccer team decide that they want to be a woman and go try out for the U.S. women's national team and kick all of them off their own dang team. We'll fix this problem from now on. And then you'll see them crying a whole new tune. Then they'll say they want the same pay because they can't play.
Oh, wow. Clarence,
yep.
I'm pretty sure you may rule the world one day.
Bit and fired. No, man, that's Jesus Christ, and I'm not the Antichrist.
All right, brother, appreciate you. Thank you much. That was just good. That was, you know what, and it just highlights the level of jackassery that we are seeing right now. Play it, Boomer, hit it. I'm saying. Oh, man. Lastly, I will say this. The Tennessee House Speaker was asked to give comment on the Tennessee Three. So the House Speaker, a Republican, led the charge, right? He's the one who presided over the proceedings in which these three received punishment. All three lost their committee assignments. Then they were brought up on potential vote to expel. Two of them were expelled. One was censured. Tennessee House Speaker, according to WATE out of Knoxville, Tennessee House Speaker Cameron Sexton set the record straight, explaining why three state representatives faced expulsion hearings. Two representatives of the three were, of course, expelled. The third narrowly held on by one vote. His words, they made the choice to lead a protest from the House floor, which has never happened in the history of the state of Tennessee. They led the protest to the people in the balcony to disrupt the proceedings of the House while we were in session, and they had to shut down the proceedings. He also carefully explained that the House set a precedent for the punishment of holding a protest on the House floor. In his words, he said, it does not matter to him if someone is a Republican, Democrat, Independent, or Green Party member. At the end of the day, if you do that on our House floor in Tennessee, you should be expelled. You go to him, Mr. Speaker. And he also thought that just censorship was too light. He thought expulsion was the way to go. So he's not backing down. He's not like, well, there was a vote of the people, and I just felt like it was the right thing, and I didn't know it was going to go that far. Nope. He's saying, by God, got what they deserve. The Tennessee Three, the Tennessee Rough Cut, there you go. Now you know what's happening just north of our wonderful border. To our neighbors in Tennessee, we appreciate you. Stand your ground. And we just got breaking news to wrap this up that the Nashville City Council has just voted to reinstate State Representative Justin Jones. So he's headed back down there to be a rabble-rouser. And you know what? If he walks in on the floor with a megaphone in his hand, I hope they expel him again. In the meantime, I guarantee you that Republicans may have something to say about the wisdom of the Nashville Council reinstating him that quickly, but they won't riot. They won't. There won't be a riot to take out State Representative Justin Jones. He's going to walk back in, pick up on his legislative activities, and do what he's there to do, which, by the way, I don't think he's ever passed a piece of legislation in his entire time in the legislature. He's an activist. He's an activist with an elected position. And now he's going to be an activist with an elected position again, because all the protesters out there on the lawn of the city hall got their way. And you know what, though? That's the process. And we'll see what they get. We'll see what they get. All right. Let's take a break, Boomer. We'll do that. We'll come back and put a lid on this one. This has been a good show. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Looking over here at the text line, which I'm woefully behind on there, Boom. So, by the way, John from Huntsville just said that he decided not to count off for me mentioning Doug Jones's name. So I'm still getting an A-plus for the day, and he says, oh, and Boomer gets an A-plus too.
Yes!
Jeremy from Huntsville says, those panty waists up in Nashville. So they need to put on some bug spray on their legs before the ants crawl up and eat their candy backsides for putting that Justin what's-his-name back into service. I agree. Brian from Huntsville, with regards to Clarence's call, says, thank you, Clarence. You helped me to make up a new word, insta-racism. So Brian's got insta-racism now because he heard the discussion with Clarence. Jeff from Indiana, conservative insurrectionists get thrown in jail without bail, but Democrat insurrectionists get invited to the White House. Imagine that. Jay from Hartsell says, I was in New York last week when Trump was being arraigned. Let me tell you, I was listening to some of the interviews, and they were so sad, he said. These people had no clue what they were protesting. The question was simple. Why are you here? One guy said, because Trump is bad. Another said, because he wanted Trump to know that he can't get away with it. But when he asked get away with what, he says, well, that thing. And these are people who vote. God help us, is Jay from Hartsell. Jim from Huntsville. California is not deserting Right Side Radio. They're escaping to Florida. That's what's happening, Boomer.
That's what it is.
Yes.
That's why Florida has just gone off the charts.
All our listeners from California are moving to Florida and taking the Right Side podcasting with them. There you go.
There it is.
Have I got a call?
Yes, sir.
Line one, Mark from Madison. Mark, how you doing?
Doing good. You know, I find it very ironic that these three individuals, which I hate saying the Tennessee Three because it reminds me too much of Johnny Cash, and I don't even want to put them in the same kind of cool nickname that those Johnny Cash and Jerry Lee Lewis and those guys. But, you know, I find it ironic. There's a shooting that happens in Nashville. The ones from Memphis, it's the number one most dangerous city in the United States. You've heard nothing of them talking about gun violence then.
Right.
Then you go with Nashville that's like 31, and this is not in Tennessee. This is in the nation, and Knoxville is still in the top 50. So to me, they're cowards because they jump in on something like this where it's like, if you were so excited about it, I mean, clean up your own backyard, Memphis, because I don't think number one in that category is the best category to be.
No, you are so right, man. And it's part of the left thing. The left can never aim at their own policies. They can only aim at things that everybody else did wrong in their opinion. And it's just,
well, they don't want, you know, my dad used to always say, and you hear it all the time, crazy will find a way. And they don't want to crack down on crazy because that eliminate all of them.
Fair enough. Hey, Mark, thanks for the call, man. You have a great day. Appreciate you. That's a fairly good point. By the way, I'm still loving Jim from Huntsville's text on the podcast thing. California is not deserting Right Side Radio. They're escaping to Florida.
That's, I love it.
That's, by the way, something like 658,000 people exited Florida just since Gavin Newsom became governor.
Well, that's a...
What does that tell you? Yeah, that's like, I heard it described as, it's the entire population of Sacramento, the capital city of California. So basically, it's as if the whole city picked up and left. Wow.
Ooh.
Glenn from Buntsville, he said, I wish I had all that spare time to go protest. Yeah, no kidding. Protesters never seem to have a job to go to. Samah the truck driver, from that definition I gave of tyranny, he said, so using that definition, would this government be tyrannical? And I would say that at times, yes, it is. Paul from Coleman, these are Bolshevist tactics, and they work, unfortunately. Stephen from Madison, this is my former college roommate, by the way. It's not that they're reinstating them, talking about the Tennessee Three. That's kind of the wrong term. It's that they get to pick someone, anyone, to refill the seat to the next election or a special one. I don't know which. Oh, I know. I mean, I get that. But since the dude was in and now he's out and now he's going back in, that's a reinstatement. Don't start with me, roommate. I got stories, too. Just so you know, I got stories. I got stories, too. Missy from Falkville. In my opinion, she says, they didn't vote out the white female on purpose. Republicans did this, so it looks like they did something, knowing these guys could be reinstated. No Democrat is secretly a Republican. Many Republicans are or working with Democrats. So she thinks it was done intentionally. I don't know, Missy. I'm not sure I agree with that one. I don't jive with that one. Hey, let me switch gears on a more serious note. It's been a horrible day in Louisville, Kentucky, my sweet wife's hometown. Horrible day up there as a shooting took place at Old National Bank in the city's downtown area. It turns out that the shooter was a 23-year-old bank employee named Connor Sturgeon. We don't know much about him except to say that he was an employee of the bank. What we also know is that one of the officers who responded, by the way, Louisville PD was on the scene apparently within about 3 minutes. Now, that's an epic response time. 3 minutes. 911, dispatch, 3 minutes on the scene. So the Louisville bank shooting suspect, his name is Connor Sturgeon. One of the officers who is now in critical condition, fighting for his life, who responded to the scene, had only graduated from the academy 2 weeks ago. He was brand spanking new to the Louisville PD. His name, let me go get it real quick. I want to say his name. His name is Officer Nicholas Wilt. Nicholas Wilt graduated from the police academy on March 31st, and today is April 10th, so it's not even 2 weeks. That's pretty amazing, so God bless him. Lord, bless Officer Wilt. I pray, Father, you just bless him to recover and to do well. Right now, what we know is that at least four were killed and that eight or nine others were injured. It was a long gun. We don't know if it was his or he got it somewhere else. And we also know he was a bank employee, but we also know that Louisville PD responded immediately. And by the way, Officer Wilt comes from a family of people who serve. His father also served in the Iraq War, received the Bronze Star. He grew up watching service. And the gunman, again, Connor Sturgeon, is all we know is that he was a bank employee and used a long gun. So prayers for Officer Wilt and others and the families of those who lost someone today. And I'm thankful to know that the Louisville PD was able to respond in short order and get there in record time, because no telling what would have happened otherwise. More to come on that. Maybe we'll talk about it more tomorrow, depending on the story unfolds. But for right now, just know this. We're there for you. And this audience is the reason why Boomer and I come to work every day. So, yeah, we're here 2 to 5 live and then podcasted thereafter. And we do this, you know, not because we like to hear ourselves talk. We do this because we have an amazing group of people. All y'all. I mean, we're hearing between the stations that we're on that there's an estimated 30,000 plus listeners every single week dialing into this show. And then the text lines prove, and then the podcast kind of all prove that out. But we do it because of y'all. And don't take that for granted. We have the best audience in radio world, and we do not take that for granted. So y'all have a great night. Boomer and I back here tomorrow at 2. We will see you then. Take care.